All right, I'd like to open the floor. We've allotted we've allotted 30 minutes. We're ahead of schedule, but that's good. So we've got lots of, I always hate cutting people off and asking people to be, well, people should always be succinct, but the floor is open. I'd like to, if it's okay with everyone, let's start with that first question. Is there anything, you heard reports from the four chairs? I had a couple of things that I found interesting or some themes that I pointed out. You just heard from Lee. On the first question that relates to the Advisory Council, is there anything else that you'd like to leave the council with? And really, you feel strongly that needs to be reflected in the summary that we'll prepare after this meeting. We'll send, as we always do, we'll send it to the council before we send the trustees for your review. So is there anything that you haven't heard in my comments and the chair's summaries when it comes to the IFRS Advisory Council that you'd really you'd like to make sure it's somehow captured in the summary? Okay, I think that was straightforward. On the Sustainability Standards Board itself, I mean, there's a lot of material here, a lot of questions, size, composition, geographic representation, the name of the board. Is there anything you'd like to comment on? Nigel, the floor is yours.
Thanks, Bill. I guess just to mention one thing I would like sort of captured in the minutes. In all of the discussions and all that has been said so far, I think we all would agree with this, but just to make sure this is captured, that, you know, the new board does not, you know, there are safeguards in place that the new board does not compromise the work and the quality of the ISB. Just to make sure that, you know, there continues to be that focus. I know everyone, you know, is in agreement with that, but I think that's an important touch point to have in there.
Yeah, Nigel, that's a good point. I think this has come up in previous discussions that we had, particularly in the context of funding. You hate for a new group to cannibalize or somehow contaminate or pollute the existing work. So point worth repeating. Thanks, Nigel. Giuseppe, and then we'll hear from Martin, but Giuseppe first, please. Giuseppe, where are you? You're muted.
Yes. My comment applies to this question, but could be apply to other questions as well. I believe that in looking at this new endeavor, we have to understand that we are doing something that's very different from financial reporting standards, because finance is a human construction. Sustainability, at least the part of it that refers to the environment and climate, is not a human construction. You have an impact on it, but it's dictated by science. So clearly, and this has been emphasized, we need scientific skills. But what I would say, it's very different. And if we want to have really true impact on climate and not just greenwashing, we have to understand what we are doing. And I think that emphasizes, in fact, the need to have an agile and pragmatic, repeating the word that we used, pragmatic strategy. Even with the Sustainability Standard Board, I don't think it's important to get everything right from the beginning. I think that we have to have the courage to focus on the goals rather than achieving perfection everywhere. And if we get most of the things right pragmatically, later on we can correct a few imperfections. If we want to get everything right from the beginning, it will be very difficult.
Good, thanks, Giuseppe. So I mean, it's always important to set expectations. It's not going to be possible to get everything right, but we are thinking, or the trustees will be thinking long term. So that's a very valid point. Now we hear from Martin and then from Aiko. Martin, please.
Yeah. Just to add one further comment. We spoke about the very valuable brand name and potential name of the foundation or the new name for the new board. And I guess another very valuable symbol is the logo. We didn't discuss anything about the logo. I guess the logo will stay or would stay. And then the question might be, if there is a publication from the one board or the other, what logo to put it on, or whether it's then in a different color shade or what else. But I assume that isn't intended to be changed anyhow, but probably that we shouldn't forget it.
You talk about pragmatic. That's a pragmatic question. Good point. Thank you. Aiko and then James. Aiko?
Yes, thank you. I also believe that current ISB model of the board of 14 allocated by geography is appropriate for the new board. And I also agree that programmatic approach. However, I'm wondering, the size of 7 members, for example, would be too small for international boards and might provide difficulty in providing diversities, not only for geography, but also for other diversities. Since basic policy and directions are usually discussed in the first stage, so in that sense, that the first stage, the number of the people are very important, I think. So, and also about the full time or part time, there is a discussion about that in my group, but I think that it is basically appropriate for the board members of the board to have no other employment. However, I wonder whether it is really possible to find the members with full employment in the limited time schedule. So I think that it should be programmatic approach should be applied to some to certain extent. And also about requirement of that competency, as indicated in the consultation paper, developing a structure and culture that seeks to build effective synergy with financial reporting. And also that consultation paper also indicated about the sustainability information disclosed to be auditable or assured, external assurance. Considering about that, such an expert should be also be considered, I think. That's my point.
Thanks, Aiko. I mean, the auditability question is an important one. That was one of the points mentioned in the September consultation paper. I think it was the first time I heard it mentioned today. Good. Very good. Thanks. James and then Martin. And so again, members, we are still talking about question number 2 that relates to the proposed SSB. James, over to you, and then Martin.
Thanks, Bill. It's not actually a point that I've come up with, but it was a point that came up in our discussion, which I think is actually quite interesting, is the relationships that this board will have. Currently, the ISB have a relationship with the national standard setters. In other words, most jurisdictions have some form of accounting standard setting, if you want. And they feed up through the ASAF relationship. the questions were asked around what would the relationship be with the existing sustainability standard setters at the moment. They're part of the working group. Where does this go to? How does this go any further? Does it go any further? How do we work with them? And then the other point, which I thought was also very interesting, was there is a relationship that the sustainability board will have to create, and that's with the scientific community. And is the scientific community designed in such a way to create that relationship? Because a lot of the input that they will be receiving will probably be from the scientific community, which needs to get incorporated somehow into the standards.
Thanks, James. I gave a talk the other day, and I talked about the global architecture when it comes to standard setting for banking, insurance, I include, of course, the IFRS, the IAASB, so there's this whole constellation of actors within this space. But you're right; it doesn't deal included in that constellation. This universe is not scientists. This is a departure from that kind of established model. Good point. Martin.
Yes, thank you.
How are you today?
Oh, wonderful. This is
good.
It's so good to experience the momentum for this, as Sirki also already said. I mean, there's so much momentum on this, and it's amazing how soon this emerged. I have a comment on the pragmatic comments, and I fully agree that there has to be a lot of pragmatism, because we need, there's a sense of urgency, and we need to get up to speed. Just one caution, and it is the first things that the SSB will, the first standards that the SSB will launch will be scrutinized by by the companies and by investors, whether they actually are relevant and whether they are of high quality. And one of the reasons why we attribute this immense task to the IFRS Foundation, because of the high quality we experience. And I'm a bit less, getting it right the first time is something that I would advise, because changing standards within 3 years again, it may actually come at the cost of credibility and comparability. So I do make a case for, yes, a sense of urgency and be the high quality we the IFRS Foundation is renowned for.
To put things in perspective or on balance, you're right. So thank you for reminding us of that. Torsten, scientific community. Yeah. What's your view, please?
Point. The scientific community, if you want to call it that, the academic community that the European Accounting Association represents is, of course, one piece of the puzzle, potentially, especially the sub-community that has been researching sustainability, reporting, social and environmental accounting for 30, 40 years. But the other scientific community is probably, let's say, best described by this umbrella term of sustainability science, and that is an incredibly rich and multifaceted interdisciplinary collective. And my point that I also made in the breakout group is that I do think also that that community needs to in some way be involved, and that goes back also to Martin's point about quality, because if you're going to have meaningful information about how companies are going to be impacted by sustainability issues, there's a lot of science behind those impacts, and especially if you want to quantify things and if you want to make them auditable. So I think that issue is even more important than with a financial reporting standard setter.
Thank you for that. I'm reminded, I have my youngest daughter is a
she'll be a first year university student in the autumn. And just looking at speaking to different universities, mainly here in the U.S., but she's looking at other schools. It's amazing to me the amount of programs on, as you put it, sustainability science. And she does want to go into this track. It's gotten widespread, and it's further developed than I had expected. Good point, Lee. Floor is yours.
Thank you, Bill. I'll just take a brief opportunity just to tie in two comments or questions, one that came from James and then followed up by Martin. I think the earlier part of James's question was just, and I want to make sure I'm clear on this, was about our current level of engagement with those already involved in the activities of the creation of standards. And very much what the trustees announced in March was that we would have that structural engagement with the TCFD, with other organisations in the WEF, and that is already starting to occur. So I just want to make sure, if James was asking that area about engagement with those already, that's connected. And with Martin, always, you know, very helpful comments and reflections, particularly around the balance of quality and pragmatism. Getting the first one right, perhaps, is the phrase you were suggesting. And I look to the work that's already been done regarding that prototype on climate disclosure. Much more, Martin, will be happening around that prototype. And I think, you know, that gives us good opportunities at very early phases, even before the board has been set up, to at least get feedback on the direction of what that is doing, so that we can be as well informed going forward for the future board as we can. And I know IOSCO is going to play an important part as they gear up their processes as well around that.
Thank you for that, Lee. Lee, I see James responded. You brought up a good point. Are we talking about the engagement with the TCFD? TCFD. Lee, James says it's more about engagement in the future. And that's your point about the engagement with the scientific community. So it's not necessarily the five bodies with which you've established, and you've already begun this communication. It's about really longer term, it seems.
And just an additional element there, Bill, is that those groups we're working with actually have quite good networks into the scientific community. And so as we work with them, particularly around content, we're looking to utilise their already established networks to help us.
Okay, good point. I didn't know that. Thanks, Lee. Giuseppe, thank you for your clarification. I fully agree with Martin. It's you know, you can maybe make some tweaks to the organizational structure, some of the administrative, some of the structural things as time goes on and the trustees gain a little bit more experience with the new board. But on the question of the standards, that's something. There's really very little room of maneuver there. It's really important to get those right from the outset. Thanks for that. Tanya, the floor is yours, please.
I suppose the one issue that we haven't really discussed much is the danger that because the first standard or the first focus is going to be on climate and climate reporting, that to make sure that the foundation doesn't lose sight of the other important aspects. And I liked one of the comments from the other group is, do we really all understand sustainability in the same term? So certainly if my understanding is that we're looking not only at the climate-related issues, but we're also looking around social and governance type of issues, there is that danger to beef the board up and to beef the structures with this solely climate focus and true sustainability reporting should not be limited to those, I wouldn't say narrow, but it shouldn't be limited to that remit. So that is a caution and a balance. And given the fact that the whole discussion we've had today has only been on climate and the science behind climate, it shows you how easy it is to fall into that trap.
An important point, Tanya. The other, I mentioned earlier, some of the other roundtable meetings and discussions, groups I've participated in, people, others raise that point. It's so we're ESG is attracting so much attention, but really what people are focusing so much, or here we're talking about the E in the ESG and specifically on sustainability and climate risk, climate change. So it's a good reminder.
And that really is why the focus, Bill, if I could just sort of continue with that. I mean, that's really why the focus on geography is so important, because it's those cultural elements that different societies and different geographical regions are going to be able to bring to the conversation.
Good. Thanks for emphasizing that, Tanya. Why don't we, we're really focusing there on the proposed SSB. Let me ask people on questions 3 and 4. 3 relates to the trustees' size, geographic representation, background of trustees. Let me open it up for people who've got any further comments on that and on number 4. Number 4 is the multi-stakeholder expert consultative committee. Definitely a mouthful. Would anyone like to come in on either one of those questions 3 or 4? James?
Sorry, struggling to find the mute button. Thanks, Bill. I'll take this as my comment rather than a representation from the group. In terms of the multi-stakeholder committee, I really do think this is a key committee. I think it brings a lot of stakeholders. We didn't get much information as to who would be a member of this committee, so I think that would need some very careful thought or flexibility maybe in the future. But it brings together stakeholders that all have a vested interest and, to me, a commitment to getting this going. I've heard in our discussions in our group, the EU is going to be there, the SEC will be there, IMF, etc. These are all important bodies who all have a vested interest, and so that's why I think the committee should be a permanent committee. But we need to maintain the board's independence as key, and therefore the remit of the committee and the remit of the board needs to be very carefully defined. That was my thinking around it.
Good. Thank you, James. Got it. Any other reflections? Leslie doesn't necessarily need the floor, but thank you for your comment, Leslie. Your written comment, that is. Any further reflections on question 3 relating to the trustees, or 4, the multi-stakeholder expert committee, consultative committee? Javier has a question.
Yeah, I think more a question is a comment. I think on the multi-stakeholder committee, how I see it, I think obviously it should be working together, but I think the goal should be clear at the end and is to have this one standard. I mean, I think right now there are different, obviously, as we know, different approaches, I will say, to this. So at the end of the day, whatever shape it takes, the integration on the board, I think the goal should be, to me, to have one standard. I think it should be clear from the beginning. That's what I would like to point out. As a user, we don't need several standards again.
Good. Got it. Thanks, Javier. Osman, over to you, please.
Thank you, Bill. I think just on question 4, for me, it's difficult to answer the question as it's framed, because I don't know if I'm, I don't think I'm alone actually, but I think the, what exactly is this multi-stakeholder expert consultative committee? Is something that's been proposed by IOSCO that will be comprised of IOSCO and other securities regulators? Is it something that's going to be appointed by the trustees and could be comprised of individuals? What's its role going to be? Is it going to have a blocking role, an endorsement role, an advisory role? So all of those questions, I think, are really, and I'd appreciate it maybe not for today, but maybe for the consultation. But it's really hard to answer the question of exactly what it is. And I have read the IOSCO press release, Lee, thank you for sharing with me earlier. I'm not in much more clarity than after reading the release than I was before, I'm afraid.
Thanks, Osman. So if there's a lack of clarity for you, then I can assure you there's it's not clear in many others' minds, and that's something that will need to be clarified going forward. So thank you for pointing that out. Let's hear from Marie, please.
Yeah, thank you. I think this stakeholder, multi-stakeholder group is quite important, and I think it's also at the beginning of the process because there is a lot of initiative in different countries. I think the idea is really to make sure that there is not conflict between what is done in one direction and another, and on this building block approach, which is also something IOSCO suggested. So after I fully agree that there is question on exactly the way it should be built and the relevance of the members and these sort of things. Of course, I think the board should remain independent, and it's also a sort of group just, I think, to advise it to make sure that the board go in the right direction and do not do something which might be difficult from after sort of part of the world or these sort of things. If it can help.
Okay. Good. Thank you, Marie. Trevor. Let's hear from Trevor, please.
Hi, Bill. I think, and maybe I'm just echoing some comments, but I think in particular, if we look at structure and maybe, you know, a recommendation that flows through from what Leslie was saying is essentially, are we talking about mirroring the accounting standard setting structure, and is that the reason that the IACF was asked to do this? And if that's the case, you know, then it is important, I think, to say we have a board that makes decisions. Theirs is the decision as to the standards. They can take advice and they can listen to people, and they have committees that can be set up, and one of which this might be, to advise them and to assist them in their decision making. But ultimately, it is their decision. And the role then of the trustees and others in that sort of level is to encourage people to use these standards. And I think that becomes quite important. And I think maybe the comment is that echoes what Osman was saying about clarification, but linking that through to what I think Leslie was saying is, but the reason this was done was because of the way the structure works. And therefore, to a large extent, mirroring that governance structure becomes important.
Good, Trevor. Thank you. Thanks for your views on that. Martin, over to you again.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, by identifying what this committee should do, maybe it helps that to identify what it doesn't need to do. And then I'd like to highlight the role of the Global Preparers Forum and the Capital Markets Advisory Committee which are advisory bodies of the IASB. And I haven't read anything on whether those would be mirrored to a advisory committees to the SSB, but I see merit in that because then it also lifts a bit of weight from the other committees that at least that perspective is serviced by those committee.
Good. Good, Martin. Thank you. Okay, Aiko has a, she'd like to comment on question three or four. And then after Aiko, I'm going to see if anyone would like to comment on questions five and six. But before that, Aiko, please.
Thank you very much, Bill. I also think that the multi-stakeholders expert consultative is very important. However, I'm still wondering that what is exactly is, and it is rather difficult to understand that what exactly do and what the role and the distinguishment between that our advisory council and that other committee and so on. So that Summer says that governance and the clarity of the role is very important to set up such a consultative committee.
Yeah, this is, thank you, Aiko. This this will be very interesting to see how this further develops. I like Martin's point, maybe define, instead of defining what it does, maybe define what it doesn't do. But this, clearly this is an area that, that does require some further clarification. We have a few minutes, you know, we still have some time left. I'd like to see if, anyone has any points or any questions or comments about the name of the IFRS Foundation? Should the foundation change its name? And then question six relates to the a sustainability standard interpretations committee. Let's see. Alain, let's go back. Like to hear from you on the. This goes back to question number four, but that's all right. I didn't see you raise your hand, so to speak. Alain, over to you.
No. I wasn't asking for the floor. I was just echoing Aiko's comment about the consultative committee.
Okay, thanks. Osman, over to you, please.
So just on the name of the IFRS Foundation, I think somebody earlier, or I heard somebody earlier make a really good point about if you leave the name unchanged and there's a consultation issued, you know, is there clarity about whether it's relating to accounting standards, which are mandatory in many jurisdictions, or sustainability reporting standards, which may not be mandatory. And, you know, that blurring of lines between financial reporting and sustainability reporting, just from a perspective of, you know, what's audited, what's mandatory, what's not mandatory, I think was a good point. So I'm kind of leaning towards maybe a change of name and then keeping the IFRS name for the ISB and changing the name of the ISB. But, you know, it's something to perhaps think about. Just on the interpretations committee, I mean, to me, this is, you know, even if it's needed over time, I think it's such a influential, powerful body in terms of how it kind of would not enforce, but, you know, recommend or state how the standard is supposed to be applied, that I don't see how it couldn't be in the Constitution. And, you know, if there's a concern about speed to market and not needing it straight away, I still think it's important to have it very clearly laid out in the Constitution with some wording to kind of emphasize that it may not be established immediately. But to have a committee with the power that the IFRS Interpretation Committee has not be in a constitution, if I draw that comparison, I think doesn't make sense. You're on mute, Bill.
At least once a meeting. Sorry about that. Thank you. Osman, thank you for your comment. Martin, over to you, please.
Yeah, thank you. Just an insight maybe about the purpose about the multi-stakeholder expert consultative committee. I think it's a very, very valid question of Alain. What purpose should it serve? And it could very well be that this particular committee focuses on harmonization and on how do you say that you... which framework or which jurisdiction takes this part of the work that needs to be done, and what part of the standard setting arena is going to be covered by the foundation, and that there's like it's like so where do we focus on? Who's focusing on what? Because the frameworks are there, and if they all focus on the overlap, I mean, there's precious intellectual capital being put to work to something that's already done elsewhere. So the purpose maybe is to make, to truly make harmonization work, and that would be a great purpose. I mean, this links to probably what still is the biggest risk, and the biggest risk is duplicate standards. And if anything that we need to prevent, and the structure should be supportive of that, is to end up with duplicate standards. And maybe this is the body to tackle that.
Good, Martin. Martin, thank you very much. Let's hear from Bi Leng and then Alain, but Bi Leng first.
Thank you, Bill. On the interpretation committee, I think the aim should be to write the standards as clearly as possible so that it minimizes the range of possible interpretation, interpretative questions. And I guess more importantly, it should also be easy to audit and regulate as well.
Good points. The regulation of, or the enforcement of, and the auditability, as well as the clarity. Good. Thank you, Bi Leng. Alain, please.
Thank you very much. I just want to come back to a point that Martin raised, which is actually a very good one, and which for me raises a more fundamental question, which is I think kind of hovering in the background, and it affects quite a lot of the questions that we've been asked. And it's the relationship between the Future Standard Setting Board and all these other standard setters which currently exist out there. I raised this during the breakout session. I think this impacts potentially the role of this multi-stakeholder consultative committee, which, by the way, let's try and keep that shorter. Multi-stakeholder expert consultative committee is a bit complicated. But it potentially affects the composition of the future board. I mean, are these other standard setters going to continue to exist? If so, is the future board going to work on or build on the standards that these other boards or the material that these other boards develop? If so, does it make sense to have a board as is currently foreseen, which is basically a carbon copy of the ISB, or should there be some more sort of institutional link between the membership of the board and these other standard setters that exist? I think the current board that's being proposed, in my view, only makes sense if ultimately the IFRS Foundation, or whatever it ends up being called in the future, just absorbs and takes over the activities of all these other standard setters that exist out there. If that's not the case, then the current setup that's being proposed, in my view, doesn't make sense. And it needs a lot more careful thought. So I raise this because I think this is a question that's in the background that's not being explicitly addressed, perhaps because it's a slightly inconvenient question. But it's an important question.
Thank you, Alain. I agree. Let's hear from Martin Schlemmer, and then over to Thorsten. Martin, please.
I fully agree that the standards should be easy to be applied. However, experience shows that sometimes it still might be challenging for preparers to adopt for the first time these standards. However, I do not believe that an interpretation committee might be necessary from the beginning onwards. However, one should consider whether kind of, say, technical expert group or so a kind of TAG or so, which then would be available to help adapting the standards from the beginning onwards, to set the right frame if there are any technical issues while adapting the standards for the first time. So that could be a solution. And then later on, one really could evaluate whether it's necessary for sustainability standards really to have an interpretation committee.
Good. Thank you, Martin. Thorsten, over to you, please.
Yes, thank you, Bill. I would like to relate to what Martin and Alain have been saying. I thought this was a little bit too fundamental for the kinds of questions that we're going through here, but now we come to these more fundamental issues, it seems. And my question relates to the relationship between the IFRS's sustainability standards and the ones that are currently being prepared for in the European Union and by EFRAG especially. So these are clearly following a slightly different approach. The multi-stakeholder and double materiality approach is more consistent with those. And if we assume that the US is probably going to go it alone in this area as well, what is the prospect for global sustainability reporting standards if we have these different approaches, and how do they relate to each other? That's something I haven't really been able to get my head around.
That's a question I mentioned as part of the IMF World Bank annual spring meetings. That was a question that was put to John Kerry, who's the U.S. Special Envoy for Environment, and it was a question put to him on two occasions. One, he was being interviewed by CNN as part of the IMF proceedings, and the other time that question was asked was during the IIF meeting that was the week before. In both cases, Mr. Kerry gave the answer that one would suspect. He said, what's different this time? And the question was related to what Thorsten just asked, and this has to do with the U.S., embracing such sustainability standards. And of course, it is notable that IOSCO is fully behind the SSB's work. I mean, fully behind, to the point that it's made a forceful public statement. And the SEC in the U.S. and the Commodities Futures Trading Commission, the CFTC, is also a member of IOSCO. So they wouldn't have come out with that kind of a public statement without the support of the SEC and the CFTC. But Mr. Kerry said what is different this time with the U.S. is that money is being spent. And we were kind of early stages last time. The U.S. didn't obviously fully embrace work related, environmental climate risk, climate change, transition risk. And what's different now is we are, the world is a little bit more advanced. And from the private sector, a lot of money now has gone into this. And it's really hard to reverse course when that kind of, the kind of money that has already been spent on a corporate basis, in academia as well, it's hard to reverse course. I'm not defending the U.S. I'm just, I'm just kind of reporting what I've heard. But that's, an interesting aspect of this really, complex set of questions is the U.S. Participation or its enduring embrace of the standards. Thank you for raising that.
Yeah, thanks, but if I may, if I just to reiterate this other aspect, the EU and EFRAG and their approach, I would be really interested in hearing, for example, from Alain or from Lee, how they envision this panning out.
Does anyone have a...
I'm happy to reply on that. And I thought earlier, Thorsten, I tried to give a sense of where the trustees had been in their thinking around this, which is a really critical point. So it's not necessarily just with the EU or just with the US, it's with jurisdictions. And it's very much around this building blocks approach, that if the Sustainability Standards Board can produce the baseline standards that are used around the globe, then different jurisdictions will look to do what they wish to do in addition to what those baseline standards were. And, more work needs to be done, understanding where each of those jurisdictions are, and the trustees are very much alive to the challenge I think you're presenting is that if you don't get key jurisdictions with a desire for that approach, then you haven't got a global solution, and that's the light on the hill that we're looking for.
Yeah.
And Bill, if I can just maybe add to that, I mean, I fully agree with everything that Lee's just said. The difficulty we're confronted with in the EU is that double materiality and the full spectrum of ESG or sustainability issues are already baked into our legislation. So we need standards that address the double materiality perspective and the full spectrum of ESG issues. So given that the focus of the current focus, at least, of the IFRS Foundation is on climate only and focusing mainly on what's called enterprise value, which actually it's financial materiality, that isn't going to be enough for us. So we're fully on board with this building blocks idea. That's fine. As Lee says, we need probably to think a little bit more about how that's going to work in practice and so on. But we have a legal framework that we have to respect. And as it is today, I don't see the IFRS Foundation meeting the full needs of the EU legislation. So we are where we are. And we've always said we have no intention of reinventing the wheel. Again, the kind of building blocks concept is something we can work with. We'll have to see exactly how it works in practice. But that's where we are. And I can tell you that if I had the temerity to go to the European Parliament, or my bosses had the temerity to go to the European Parliament to say, oh, by the way, guys, you've got to abandon your double materiality perspective and your full ESG spectrum approach because the IFRS Foundation isn't going to focus on that, we would get murdered. So mm-hmm. There's no prospect of that happening.
Rightfully so. Thank you.
If I may just correct one aspect, the trustees aren't just doing climate. The proposed Sustainability Standards Board, which I made earlier today, is prioritising climate, but going much further than that through the ESG, which is relevant for investors. So I just wanted to make sure that's clear.
Thanks, Lee. Thanks, Alain. Martin, let's hear from you, and then I will say a few closing remarks, and then we'll finish for this meeting. Martin?
Yeah, thank you, Alain. This is really insightful, because I think the building blocks approach, as you described, is something that also is top of mind of IOSCO. And it's actually top of mind by many, many people that there is a valid need for a European standard setter, because there's a different stakeholder group to be serviced. Because it will not be serviced by the foundation. And rightfully, it will not be serviced by the foundation because it's outside the target audience. And so there's a valid case for a European standard setter. And I'm glad there will be. It's not decided yet, but we're heading for one. And it's the key is in collaboration and making sure there's no duplication and we get no disclosure overload by probably one standard setter aiming to service the other as well. And make sure that the intellectual effort that's being put in, that is rightly allocated so that we get up to speed as fast as possible. So thank you for your comment.
And thank you, Martin. That was well put.